Well, good morning again, church family. It is good to worship together this morning and to focus our hearts on God's call, which we'll be doing here in just a few moments with our message. Had a few things that we did want to make you aware of that are in, all of these are inside of your weekly newsletter, and so please be sure to check that out. But we did just want to remind you that if you are interested in baptism, if you've never been baptized before and it's something that the Lord has been leading you to take that step, I want to remind you that we're going to be having a meeting following next Sunday second service, and we're going to be gathering together to kind of talk about baptism and the service itself. Where we're going to be doing baptisms is the first Sunday in May, and so if you would like to be a part of that, we'd just like to invite you to join us next Sunday following the second service for that meeting. So all of that again is in your newsletter, so please be sure to check that out, but we would love to have you join us. And then also, I wanted to remind you, as you'll see at the very bottom of the back of the newsletter, I want to remind you to begin signing up, if you have not already, for the SEAT conference that's going to be coming in June. We'll be having the president of the CNMA joining us, as well as a few other speakers, including Ben and Sarah Carey, who are going to be here with us for that conference. It will fill up. We have two districts that are looking to be a part of it, but we would love for our entire church family not to miss this. So please be sure to look inside of the newsletter at how to get online and to get registered for the SEAT conference. Again, the cost is only $25 for Friday night and Saturday, so we would love for you to put that in your calendar and plan on joining us. Now, again, it is our privilege as we begin our missions emphasis week to have all of our international workers with us, but especially Ben and Sarah. They've been with us this past year, and Ben is going to come and share with us a little bit from God's word this morning. So would you join him, or would you welcome him as he comes?
Join me on stage.
I'm like tongue-tied all over.
Good morning. You guys are great. Thank you for being a wonderful church family for us. Oh, great. Uh-oh. So over the past 8 months or so, I've had the opportunity, the privilege, it really is a privilege to be able to travel around and visit different churches and speak in those churches. And it's great because all churches are different, and to see them in their ministry and their context and to share what God's doing around the world. But there's something special about this place and this church family for us. And I'm not even a minute in and I'm going to start crying. That's fantastic. Just know that you are huge for us. Your partnership, your support, your prayers, your encouragement over the years. The fact that people ditched homecoming just to hang out with us. Starting from there, and even just the wonderful connection that we have with this church. We thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You'll probably hear us keep saying thank you throughout the week. That's a good thing. I don't do the fill in the blanks thing, but there is a. I do want to point out the blank piece of paper for the notes in your bulletin, because fill in the blanks is fine. That's great, but I just wanted to point that out, because as you're here this morning, my prayer is that you're not just going to hear the voice that's mic'd here, but if God's giving you any words, any encouragements, any challenges, any impressions, even a picture, go ahead and draw that out. Go ahead and write that out. If it's words that I'm saying, that's great too. But make the most of that and don't let go of that opportunity if he's speaking to you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are here this morning with us. You are great. How great you are. And we thank you that you do have something to say to us this morning. I thank you that you do speak to us, and you may use the words that I'm saying, and that's fantastic. But if you have something specific that you want to say to any individuals or to the church community as a whole, I pray that you would do that, that we would have open ears, open hearts, open eyes to hear from you this morning, Lord. We don't want to just stay where we're at, and I pray for that openness to hear from you. We pray this in your name, Lord. Thank you. Amen. In case you did not know, I did grow up in a Christian home. I was born into a Christian family. My parents are believers. I had great siblings. I'm sure my sister loves that I put these pictures up onto the screen. Love you, Rachel. They were in New Zealand and in England, and so I grew up in a Christian family, and I learned about Christ, and I went to children's church. I thank God for that. I have a rich spiritual heritage. Some of you know my grandfather and my grandparents, who are also here, probably know them better than I do. But both my grandfathers were also Alliance pastors, and I just thank God. I don't take that for granted. God is good to have that. And I struggled with being a missionary kid, and I struggled with growing up in church as a teenager. I really learned to embrace what relationship with Jesus is. And in my life and journey with Christ, you know, there are times when I'm walking, there's times when I'm jogging, there's time when I'm stumbling, there's times when I'm trudging and skipping with joy, and sometimes maybe I just sat down in laziness on the side. But I'm so thankful for the relationship that I have with Christ, for the freedom and the grace that he's given me, and for the way he's transforming me to be a person in his kingdom. Some of you, most of you probably have that relationship with Christ. Sometimes it's exhausting. No? Maybe tiring, maybe discomforting. Sometimes, and I'm putting this in the context as part of as living as a Christ follower in the world. These are some recent headlines just from the last few weeks. It's hard to read and to see and to hear about what's going on in the world. Here in the States, around in other countries, there's rampant violence. There's just this unaddressed hatred. There's systemic injustice. There's normalized sexual immorality. There's growing scandals. There's corrupt leadership. There's destructive idolatry. And unfortunately, some of this is within the church community too. But as people in the kingdom of God, we should have different values, different perspectives, different desires. And the more we're experiencing the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, how he's transforming us, the more I kind of feel out of place in the world. And I just think, I don't really feel like I belong here. Like this, it's just, it can be discomforting, unsettling. Like, what's going on? Or maybe it's just me. It's not a judgmental thing. It's not an I'm better than these people here type thing. I'm in need of his grace. It's not spiritual superiority or anything. But living in the world sometimes, I just feel this tightness. You feel this hurt in your soul. And just like, I feel like I'm a stranger as a kingdom person in this world. Being kingdom people in a worldly world is a challenge. And in his first letter, Peter, the Apostle Peter, is writing to a similar audience. And in verse 1, he even addresses the letter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he addresses the letter to God's elect, strangers in the world. So these original readers were believers and mostly Jewish background, but they were strangers. So in Acts chapter 7, you read the story of Stephen and his account and his words, his speech, and how he challenged them. And how he was speaking truth, and then he was martyred for his faith and his following Jesus. And after that, the believers scattered throughout the region. They scattered throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. And they, with their faith and their values and their perspectives, they felt like strangers in places that they did not know. They felt rootless. They felt like they didn't have a firm foundation where they were. They probably felt fear, maybe some isolation. But Peter wants to write to them and encourage them, hey, this is not a mistake. God has not left you where you are, but he has a plan and a purpose for you. I think we can relate to these original readers quite a bit as followers of Christ, as kingdom people in this broken world, as strangers in a foreign land. And I just want to simply focus on this one verse here for us for a majority of this morning and then tie it into God's global heart to kick off our missions week this week. In 1 Peter chapter 2, yeah, I don't want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that's our verse for us this morning. So we see this bold statement about the intentionality of God and his calling on our lives, how he sees us in the context of our world around us. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Peter wants to encourage and challenge us where we are, right? And in focusing in on this verse, he reminds us of two important truths. I'm going to keep it very simple. I'm a simple guy. Need simple things because that's the applying and the practicing that's the complicated part, right? Who we are and why we are. So first, who are we? And we'll just get a little snapshot of what Peter gives us here. We are a chosen people. We're not accidentally his. And it's not a choosing playground, choosing teams. He didn't choose you like that. Oh, I guess I'll take this guy. No one else wants him. No, you are intentionally his, not accidentally his. He has chosen us. There's not a mistake here. Your connection with God is not a random fluke, and you did not catch him by surprise when you said, Jesus is Lord. Oh, this guy? What? He knows you. He chooses you to be a part of his people. He doesn't passively accept you, but he actively embraces you. It's still astounding to me that God wants to be with me. That he still wants to embrace me. He's in relationship with us and has redeemed us. He sanctifies us. Note, he says you are a chosen people, not just a chosen person. So keep that in mind. All together, we are intentionally his together. He mentions we're a royal priesthood. In our relation to God, Jesus is the King of kings, King of all kings. And in our connection to him, we are that royalty. And it's all because of Jesus, because of our coming King. We have this special, valuable calling and service to our King in that we're a royal priesthood. We have a priestly role. And we're going to roll back around to that later. Different spelling. I'll come back to that later. A holy nation. We are set apart. We are the body of Christ under Christ, who is the head and authority of this body. We are called and brought into this one body, one big community, nation together. Again, it's together. All part of his body. Christ desires for us to be pursuing that righteousness, that unification together through him. We are distinct. We're holy. We're set apart. We are one family of God. Peter also says we're God's special possession. We're his precious, treasured possession. We are his own. Honestly, how many of you woke up this morning and your first thought was, I am God's precious possession. I am his own. Any of you? And I'm not talking like the weird Gollum, Lord of the Rings, my precious, my own, because he used the same words. God's love for us is not unnatural. It's not an obsession like that. But it is true, it's pure, it's his genuine intimacy in his relationship with us. And this is the core truth of our identity. This is what we should be grounded in, rooted in Christ. I'm defined by God's love for me. No matter what other people say, I am his treasured possession. I belong to him, the faithful God who is love. Maybe we should start each day 5 minutes just meditating on that rather than inside cursing the alarm clock. I belong to him. I am his child. This is unshakable. Knowing who we are is key. This shapes our beliefs about how we not only view ourselves, but how we operate our lives and how we view and value the lives of others. It's gonna overflow. We need to be rooted in God's radical love, soaking ourselves in that truth, in his presence. And we live in a culture of shifting identity and skewed identity and ideas of what our identity really is. But we can be certain with a firm foundation as strangers in the world, grounded in this truth, I'm chosen, I'm a royal priest, I'm set apart, and I'm his own. I was walking years ago. We've been in Germany since 2007, and years ago in Berlin, we were there for the first 4 years. I was walking around. It's a big international city. If you ask Germans, they say it's not even a German city. I was walking around, and I came across this label at a bus station down by the zoo, and it said, Gottlosigkeit. Someone took the time to get this white piece of tape, a red marker. I don't know what they're doing out in public with that, but they had it, and they did this, and I took a picture of this pillar that had this label on there, and what that says is godlessness. Through time, unfortunately, Germany has become this place, especially out in northeast Germany where we are, they've just embraced godlessness. And for a huge majority of people, they claim that God plays no role in their lives and that God doesn't even exist. But in the middle of this, I'm encouraged by people that we've been able to connect with, like Moritz or Miriam or Anna or Salome, so many of them, just a few examples. People that have come to see, hey, this is my identity and who I am in Christ. They've learned to grow in that, and then that then infects other people in a positive way around them. Moritz is someone that we got to know at English camp back at almost 10 years ago now. And so we've seen him grow up. We've seen him come to embrace who he is in Christ, and he's serving in a church, and he's married, and he's doing really well, and he's passionate about his relationship with Christ and seeing others come to know that as well. They know their true identity, and they live in that security and on that foundation. They may not feel as strange in a foreign land in Germany, maybe, I don't know, but as much as we do, perhaps. But they know who they are. Who are we? We are chosen. Secondly, why are we? So the first part of the verse addresses who we are, and the second part mentions why we are who we are. Because ultimately, it's not about us. Surprise, surprise. It says that you may declare the praises of him, God, who has called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So this is recognizing how the love and the power of God is in our lives, and knowing what God has done in our lives, and knowing who God is, the huge change that we have experienced. Declaring his praises just becomes a natural result of how we've experienced his presence and his love in our lives. Giving him praise, blessing his name, living out a life of worship, declaring his praises here on a Sunday morning is fantastic. Thank you, the team that does that every week. Thank you for doing that. But declaring his praises is more than just singing hymns or songs on a Sunday morning. It's giving witness about who God is, declaring his praises to other people. It's living for him, glorifying him, showing how he has interacted with us in our lives, pointing others to God. And you see, in the second part, we also have been redeemed and rescued, moving from darkness into light. I love thinking about and praying about and just meditating on the theme of the darkness and light. It's a great topic, but there's a brutal reality to that. The different facets, the applications about that, we just have to confront that brutal reality, and that is that the enemy, he's got an intention too, of keeping us in darkness, of keeping us out of the light. The enemy tries to keep us and others in darkness and in bondage and captivity, riddled with lies and confusion and living with a fake reality, and he wants to bring us alongside of him. He wants to put his arm around us and then just spiritually punch us in the face. He hates you. He wants your destruction. He's doing everything he can to try and keep you out of the light, to keep you away from the real life that God, that Jesus wants to give us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy. He knows what he's up to. But Jesus says, I have come that you can have life, real life, have it to the full, not just there in eternity, not just down the road, but today. There's that stark difference between being in darkness and in light. We want to declare his praises. We are, as Peter encourages us, chosen to declare God's praises. It's not just a private thing, but we speak that out to others. It's by word and deed. This is not just, again, not a Sunday morning identity that we have of who we are. It's not just a Sunday morning expression of why we are who we are. It's a continual growing expression of being kingdom people outside of the walls of the church building. God's really been impressing that term there for me, just being kingdom people. It's done both through words and actions. A recent example of this was back a few months ago, we had the Germany experience here. And thank you so much again for welcoming and embracing the team that came from Northeast Germany to share their culture with you guys. It was fantastic. I don't know if you've heard any of the stories since then, but this team that came, very, very little experience with the church. The one guy does have a Catholic background, but they saw how so many of you knew who you were, you knew the love that God had poured out in your life, and you lived out love to them, and you declared his praises to them. And they saw that. One of the biggest things that they said that that hit them while they were here was that it wasn't just a surface friendship, but they knew that they were genuinely loved and embraced during their time here. We have one guy that wants to join us in our church plant when we get back. We have one guy that's wanting to brush aside the fake God that he's embraced, and he's picking up a Bible, and he's curious. We have another lady that's rushing out of the Sunday service because she just can't handle it, and God's speaking to her in a unique way during the worship service here that morning. This was huge. Every one of them feeling that genuine love because you were chosen, and you are declaring his praises in their interactions with you. This segues into our week here, because it doesn't end with God's interaction with just me or just you. That's a little bit too narrow-minded and I think selfish. We need to have an even bigger picture to see, like Tim was talking about last week, the big story that God is writing, and he includes us in that story writing process. We are part of that bigger story that God is writing in the nations. Yes, we're a chosen people. That's great. Yes, we are to declare his praises and proclaim his glory. And through doing that, we develop a sharper perspective, a heart for others, and spiritual eyes to see people for who they are. And that is souls that need connection or reconnection with God, their creator. So if you open up your Bible and you look back in Genesis 12, you have this picture of God speaking with Abraham, and he says to Abraham, all of the nations will be blessed through you. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And that's in Genesis 12, right at the beginning, right? And then you have Revelation 7. You flip a few pages, a few hundred pages maybe, depending on the print size in your Bible, and you have Revelation 7 image there. So many people, so many nations, languages, the peoples of the earth gathered around the throne singing out, salvation belongs to the Lamb our God. So you have Genesis 12, you have Revelation 7, and you have us here on April 15th, 2018, stuck in between those images, and I hope you can feel the tension there. We want to see this. We want to see this fulfillment of this promise here. And God wants to see that too. And he includes us in building this house of prayer for all nations. This is where the verse circles around again, back up to the royal priesthood item. We are a royal priesthood. So what do priests do? They essentially come before the Lord and bring the Lord before the people, right? So it's really, in essence, they bring God to people and bring people to God. That is our priestly role, if you want to shave it down to its very essence. And we can live this out locally, we can live this out regionally, and we can live this out globally, and we can do all three if we're that bold. So this is what we're trying to do in Northeast Germany, where there's that grotesquely high percentage of atheism. The fall of the wall back in 1989, the percentage of atheism in Germany, specifically East Germany, was the highest of any of the former Soviet bloc nations at 90%. 9 out of 10 people said God does not exist at all. So you have less than 1% of the people in Germany going to any kind of a church on the Sunday morning. You have a fraction of that actually believing who Christ is. How many people are in this church building this morning? In our town of about, in our city of 22,000 people, there's probably half this amount of people in any kind of church building on a Sunday morning where we are. Just to give you kind of a visual. It's a place out in northeast Germany where there's this church here in Neubrandenburg. Beautiful church building. It was they started building it back in the 13th century. I think it was even completed in that century. This is about 40 minutes away where we live in northeast Germany. Beautiful church building. It took on a little bit of damage during World War II. And back in the, they renovated it. And since 1970s, in that time, it's been a concert hall. There hasn't been a regular church worship service there for the last 40 to 50 years. After centuries of being the house of God there, it's now good to go see a concert. You can go see a stand-up comedian. You can go see an art exhibit if you want to. Or pay a couple euro and climb up the tower and see a good view of the city. The church is seen as cold and irrelevant to life. This is a place where, after hearing one of our teammates speak in a Lutheran Protestant church, the pastor came up to our teammate and said, "That was really good, the pastor of this Lutheran church, that was really great. This was good. You really spoke about Jesus a lot." Let that register there, that the Lutheran Protestant pastor was surprised that our teammate talked about Jesus a lot. He's kind of important. We want to live out this priestly role there in Germany. We want to bring people to God and bring God to the people in creative ways, in fresh ways. We want to break down those walls of how they view God, church, religion, Jesus. We want to build bridges into the community to help create that effective gospel access and see gospel impact in the community there. So the King James Version of 1 Peter 2:9, I'm not usually keen on reading King James Version all the time. That sitteth not well with me. I don't know. Anyway. But in the King James Version of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the translation calls us peculiar people. And I think it does actually fit into our context here this morning. So just picture this. You are a peculiar person. Okay? What does peculiar mean?
Odd.
Odd. Unusual. Different.
Unique.
Weird. Strange. Weird. Uncommon. Embrace your peculiarity. Okay? We are peculiar people. God has chosen us and has rooted our identity in Christ. We declare his praises and we live out our priestly role. And he's calling us to be kingdom people, to be peculiar kingdom people. He's created us uniquely. We are all different. We're not to be cookie cutter Christians, and our engagement in global mission is going to look different for different people. That's okay. I am so thankful that I'm not like you. I am so thankful that you're not like me. I had someone come up to me after the first service and said, you preach a lot different from your dad. And I'm like, well, thank you. I don't know if it was a compliment or not. It was probably a put down. That's okay. But that's okay. That's good. I'm so thankful that we're all different. That's a good thing. The church would be so boring if we were all the same. And in our unity, we can embrace that diversity and still have unity, and we can live as kingdom people. That's what's going to shine brightly in the world when people see that diversity and see our peculiarity. We have varying interests. We have different gifts that he gives us, different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses, different talents, different quirks, different locations, different vocations. Embrace your peculiarity. We sung about living as light in the world. He doesn't say live like a candle in the world. He doesn't say live like a flashlight in the world. He doesn't say live like a strobe light in the world. Thank God. He doesn't say live like... He says light. Even within light, there's diversity. What kind of a light are we living as? We want to work together in God's global mission to see that Revelation 7 image come to reality. That should be a driving, motivating force for us. And we are chosen to proclaim. We're chosen to declare his praises. So do you want to be a peculiar kingdom person? It's not the easiest thing to say, peculiar kingdom person, but it's essential. It's very important. We're chosen to declare his praises, and we should see individuals as individuals on a journey with or without Christ. Peculiar kingdom people want to see individuals moving closer to Christ, and that's part of our priestly role, right? Bringing them closer and closer to Christ. Peculiar kingdom people want to see individuals from every part of the globe walking in freedom and truth. In Toledo, people in Ohio, people in Michigan, people who support the Michigan Wolverines, people who support the Ohio State Buckeyes. If this is hurting you, you got problems. I've lived here long enough. I know how it is. People from every part of the globe walking in freedom and truth, from Germany, Mongolia, North Korea, Madagascar, all over the place, Syria, Afghanistan, Brazil, anywhere. All individuals, regardless of who they are, or what they have done, or how differently they live or believe. So our desire should be to love people and see them come closer to Christ, not to judge them for who they are without Christ. So what do peculiar kingdom people want to see? We want to see the Lord glorified in peculiar ways in the lives of those around us. We want to see individuals break free from considering Jesus as a stranger to embracing Jesus as a friend. We want to see individuals break free from spiritual shackles to live in spiritual freedom, to break free from physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual pain, and to experience the divine touch of our compassionate healer, to see individuals break free from the filth and lies of the devil and his demonic army, to stand strong in their new identity in Christ, to see individuals break free from suffering and hopelessness, to walking in his promises, to break free from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, unimaginable eternal death into incomparable eternal life, and to know who Jesus is. To know who Jesus is in their lives as a Savior, Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. Do you want that? Is that what we want to see? Because I'm pretty sure God wants to see that. Rightly so, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Acts 1, 8 are the go-to verses for missions. Perfect. They are fantastic. Sharing Christ, creating gospel access around the whole world. They're awesome verses. They're the granddaddies of the missions verses in the Bible. But we have to remember, he tells us, go and make disciples of all nations. And he tells us, you're going to be my witnesses throughout the whole world. And it sounds like a daunting task. It sounds like it's a little too much. I'm just one person. Well, remember, we're a chosen people. We're the body of Christ. We're peculiar kingdom people. And we have to remember what else he says in these verses. But you will receive power. Please highlight that. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. It is through him. It starts with him. He's the one inside sanctifying us, transforming us, empowering us, guiding us. We're not on our own. And then when you look at the Great Commission at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it starts with an all-important promise. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. So don't worry. There's no reason for fear. Go and make disciples. Go and be a part of what God's doing in the world. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him. So why are we shaking in our boots? Why are we concerned? He is in control. And then he sandwiches that with the bottom piece of bread, the bottom promise. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Commission sandwich right there for us. He's always with us. He's empowering us. He has all authority. We can't avoid or sidestep or ignore this calling, this mission. This is a part of our priestly role. Hate me if you want, but it's not a choice. It's not a choice being involved in God's global mission. This should be a priority for us. But our choice does come in how we're engaging, how we are involving, how we're being involved. The question for us, for you specifically, this week then, and I want you to ask, how are you involved in God's global mission? How are you, as chosen by God and declaring his praises, how are you engaging in your priestly role, locally, regionally, or globally? There's so many ways to be involved. And I would ask you, if you weren't considering coming to any of the events this week, change that. Make the time. Cut something out and bring something else in through this week, whether it's tonight, whether it's Wednesday night or another time, or on your own. In your prayers this week, in your time with the Lord, ask him, how am I involved? What's my next step? I pray that we, as strangers in this land, we know who we are, we know why we are in participating in what God's doing, that we would have boldness, that we would ask, what is your next step for me, Lord? And that you would have boldness to just step. All authority. Surely he's with you. Be open to hear from him. Come interact at the different events. Interact with us outside of the events. That's fine. Skip your homecoming. Pray on your own. Ask him to guide you and direct you this week with that question. What is your next step for me in participating with you, Lord, in your global mission? Let's pray. God, I thank you again so much for your love, for the identity that we can have in you. I thank you that you have chosen us, and I thank you that it is through our proclaiming, through our declaring your praise, through our living as light, that you include us in your global mission. I pray that you would elucidate that even more for us this week, that you would shed light on that, on how we are peculiar, how you've crafted us, how you've knit our hearts together in unique ways, and how we can put those unique ways into practice, into bringing people closer to you. Not even just here, outside the church building walls, out in the neighborhoods, but also around the world. How can we connect and exercise as the body of Christ to do that? What is my next step? Is it grabbing a prayer card and praying? Is it starting a conversation with someone that is clearly not from Toledo? Is it encouraging and empowering people that are interested in going, but I can't go myself? There's so many different ways that we can be involved, and I pray that you would speak to us this week. Speak to us right now. Today. It's worth it. We praise you. We're here for you, and it's all for you.